Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah! This is the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Live in Los Angeles, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1, Joy Taylor, Team Petty, captain of Team Petty.
Queen Petty.
Queen Petty.
Queen Petty.
Acknowledges she's all in on Petty.
Shannon is right about that. Although I do, as usual, agree with Skip. LeBron did that on purpose.
Oh, so great to have you in Thursday tonight. There's an NFL game, Ravens, Bengals, actually two really good teams. That's becoming a really good division. You know, I was thinking about this, and this is the way it works sometimes. Dak Prescott's getting a lot of heat. And when Dak Prescott came into the league, for the first five games of his career, I called him Dak and Dunk because everything was underneath, and I didn't see him throw the ball down the field, and I didn't like him in college much. I thought he was Tebow. But then I kind of start watching him, and durable and mobile and all the noise in Dallas. He keeps winning games. Don't think he's elite. Don't think he's an A. Not sure he's ever going to get there, but there's stuff I like about him. But it is interesting about what iconic moments do to a legacy. I mean, Michael Jordan apparently never missed a shot. You forget that Michael Jordan quit twice, like twice. LeBron misses a game, it becomes a topic on this show. The NBA world, like, loses its you-know-what if LeBron misses a game. Michael Jordan retired twice, just left the sport. Didn't even tell the Bulls until the end the first time. But John Elway didn't win a Super Bowl until his 15th year. He threw a lot of interceptions. Not only lost three Super Bowls, was destroyed in three Super Bowls. 42-10, 55-10. John Elway was do you understand with social media, we'd crush Elway today. Loser, can't win the big one. But then he gets Terrell Davis, wins, retires, holding the trophy. It just stamps him. It redefines him. People now even say he's better than Joe Montana. He was terrible in Super Bowls. Many of them. This happens to Eli Manning. Eli Manning's a C-plus quarterback. Only 2 years of his entire career, he's won a playoff game. But he beat the Patriots. He is a 59% completion, 83 quarterback rating quarterback in the regular season. Eli Manning's a C-plus quarterback. But he had that nice playoff run twice. And I'm thinking about Dak Prescott. When the three biggest brands in the NFL are Dallas, Green Bay, and Pittsburgh, the numbers are bigger. Now, New England gets numbers now because of Brady. But when Brady retires, New England will not get these numbers. The three biggest brands in the NFL, the Cowboys, whatever network they're on, get the biggest rating. And the Green Bay Packers get the biggest rating after the Cowboys. And then the Pittsburgh Steelers get the big ratings. Now, again, those, they pop. And those games are memorable. You can remember great Favre games. I can remember great games. Colin Kaepernick, you could argue his three best games ever were against the Packers. When I think of Colin Kaepernick, I think of him red uniform, running for 45 yards against the Green Bay Packers in those white road unis. In fact, we have a picture of it. Like, that's all I think about with Kaepernick. You know, I think about the anthem stuff, too, because that's part of his brand. But when I think of Kaepernick, Kaepernick was great against the Packers. And I fell for it. I remember being on the show, Steve Young and I over at the old place. I was like, this kid's it. This kid's it. Everybody tells me he's smart. He can run like crazy. He's tall. He's got a rocket arm. And I fell for him. And then when it was all said and done, I was like, he's kind of below average. Think about Dak Prescott. Three of his biggest games, the number one brand in the country, Dallas Cowboys, number two is Packers. Three of Dak's biggest games have been against the Green Bay Packers. Against the Green Bay Packers, his passer rating is 108. Against the Green Bay Packers, he throws for 270 yards. Am I doing the same thing with Dak as I did with Kaepernick? When Kaepernick broke in the league, I was like, nah, I watched him in college. And I watched him against the Packers. I'm like, he's great. And then when it was all said and done, I was like, I wouldn't build my team around him. And Dak Prescott out of college, I'm like, nah, guy can't play. He's a tight end. He's Tebow. No. And he has these three great games against the Packers, and I'm like, yeah, woo-hoo-hoo. And now I'm left with sometimes the guy doesn't even throw for 200 yards a game. And this is what iconic moments do. They redefine you. They stamp you. They really do. With Dak Prescott is fascinating to me because I'm sitting there this morning and I'm like, did I fall for it again? Doubt a guy out of college, go against my better instincts, doubt him. Then he plays the Packers, Niners-Packers games. Those were playoff games Kaepernick had. Two playoff and one the Fox game of the week. Those got massive numbers. Highest rated, I think those were some of the highest rated games. That was that two-year period where the NFL rating spiked. That was pre-Trump when it wasn't all this political polarization and we were just talking football all day. And then Dak comes in. Remember, I doubted him his first five games in the NFL. And then he went to Green Bay and he threw all these yards and I was like, okay, I'm not going to call him Dak and Dunk anymore. And I was just sick and driving in this morning. Did I fall for it again? I went against my instincts. I went against him. I didn't like him out of college. I didn't buy it. He didn't go in the first round. Watched him early. Didn't go. And all of a sudden, Packer games? I see three of those things. I've watched every single Packer game with Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre for 20 years. However, I don't miss Packers. Who misses Packers games? I've watched every single one of them. And it's funny because Dak, I didn't buy. Now I'm on Team Dak. And I got to tell you, scouts, GMs, coaches, Landon Collins came out yesterday and literally said, we just have to stop Zeke. If we put the game in Dak's hands, we have a much better shot at winning. That's a wow quote.
Call out.
That's a call out. That is a Landon Collins, a good player for the Giants, came out and just said it. We put the make Dak have the ball. That's a better chance at winning. A total call out from an elite player. And he's not the only one saying it. A lot of people are. Maybe I fell for it. Packer games have a way of altering reality. They did it to me once. Have they done it again? Let me shift gears to Gruden. You ever drive by a restaurant? Best chili in town. Every time I drive in Los Angeles, I get off the freeway, there's this little hamburger place. It always says, best hamburger in Los Angeles. You've seen that before. You drive by a restaurant, there's a sign, best pizza in America. I'm always like, well, prove it to me. Huh? Why? Because you got a good Yelp review that your assistant general manager put on Yelp last night? What does that mean? Prove it to me. John Gruden, everybody keeps telling me he's a quarterback guru. I watched Monday. Derek Carr looked rattled. Amari Cooper had a horrible game. And John Gruden took a shot yesterday at Derek Carr for not hitting an open Amari Cooper against the Rams. Listen here.
If we had more first downs in the second half, had more time of possession, perhaps we would have seen more Cooper. But you look at the film, we had him open wide open deep. We didn't go there. He was open a couple times, and for whatever reason, we didn't go that route. But, yeah, we want to get him going, and that's easier said than done now.
That's kind of a shot at Derek Carr. So let me ask you this. For all you people that put outside your restaurant, best chili in town, best burger in America, world's best pizza, I keep hearing that John Gruden's a quarterback guru. He had 9 quarterbacks in Tampa. None developed into stars. He had 4 quarterbacks in Oakland. Rich Gannon won an MVP the year after Gruden left. You know what I think happened? He was the first TV analyst to really talk only quarterbacks. He created that quarterback camp over at the other place. Now, I talk quarterbacks now. Dilfer talks quarterbacks now. 10, 12 years ago, John Gruden was the first analyst that branded himself, I'm a quarterback guru. And we all know how business works. First in matters. There's a lot of delivery companies out there, but UPS was the first one. You got FedEx and that one from Germany, and there's a lot of Airborne Express. When you're first in, McDonald's was the first people to kind of figure out the mass production of hamburgers. There's been a lot of copiers since, but a lot of the reason they win, they were first in. And Gruden was first in on, I'm talking quarterbacks, and that's all I'm talking, quarterback camp. And so I think it's taken his brand and his reality and trumped it up. I don't get it. And here's the irony of it. There is a quarterback guru in the National Football League. And there's nobody close to him. Oh, my bad. There is one guy close to him. Geographically, Kyle Shanahan lives across the bridge from the quarterback guru. Kyle Shanahan turned Matt Schaub into a Pro Bowler. Bust RG3 into Rookie of the Year. He turned Matt Ryan into an MVP. And Jimmy Garoppolo last year was 5-0 with him. I could also throw up a Brian Hoyer Cleveland stat, and it was the last time Cleveland was interesting. Brian Hoyer was the quarterback. Kyle Shanahan was the quarterback coach. We do have a quarterback guru, and unlike world's best pizza, best chili in town, best hamburger in Los Angeles, I've actually got proof beyond a Yelp review. I've got data. Matt Schaub had a 99 quarterback rating and was a Pro Bowler under Kyle Shanahan. RG3, a bust, outdueled Andrew Luck for Rookie of the Year. Matt Ryan, 38 TD, 7 picks, MVP of the league with him. He left, wasn't the same quarterback. And Jimmy Garoppolo's lost one game with him. If you're going to tell me you have the world's best pizza and you're a quarterback guru, you got to give me some proof. I know that Gruden tore it up with Ty Detmer for a while. But even the Green Bay years for Gruden, he was a wide receiver coach. He wasn't running the quarterback room. I'm not anti-Gruden. But quarterback guru, we got one in the Bay Area. It's Kyle Shanahan. And one of the reasons I like Garoppolo, if Garoppolo would have been traded to Cleveland, I wouldn't like him so much. One of the reasons I like Garoppolo, that's his running mate for the next 8-10 years. And going to win a lot of games. By the way, I like Jared Goff. I don't love him yet. One of the reasons I may love him is Sean McVay. I watched Gruden rip Derek Carr yesterday in my life. I'm thinking, that's kind of the opposite of what a new coach should say to a quarterback, by the way, and Derek Carr that's been beat up a little bit, had a back injury. He's had some injuries. When you have injuries, you lose confidence. Derek Carr a couple of times on Monday, I think I'm not the only person that saw this. Is a little gun shy back there. He's getting rid of the ball when he doesn't have to. I think we all saw that. Got to claim world's best pizza, man. You got to do more than a Yelp review.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm not an overly religious person, but the man upstairs, or maybe it's your parents, give you a DNA. And some people get sick more than others. Some people get hurt more than others. And, you know, I read a story years ago about parenting, and they said, you know, 90% of parenting is the night you're conceived. And you're not going to be able to overcome some stuff, and you'll be given certain gifts and certain liabilities by DNA. And you go from there. And parents buy all these books and do all these classes and put you in private schools. But, you know, in the end, some people are just given gifts. Some people are given liabilities. It is what it is. My son never gets sick. My daughter gets sick more. I don't know what it is. He's never sick. He's never sick. 12 years. I've known him 12 years. As six, actually. The first six, I was working a lot of hours. But he's never sick. John Lynch played in the NFL. I mean, John Lynch, one of the hardest hitters I've ever seen. Now the GM of the San Francisco 49ers, never had a concussion. If you watch John Lynch play, it looked like every hit was a concussion. He never had one. I've asked him. He's like, no, I never had a concussion. I don't know how that's possible. John's got a rock head, except it's full of brains and stuff. He went to Stanford. So athletes do not like to be called injury prone. They don't like it. Like it somehow it's lessening their manhood. And Aaron Rodgers tends to have rabbit ears anywhere. He hears all the criticism. But I want to show you this play against the Bears. How close Aaron Rodgers was. I'm going to show you different angles. Was from being out for a long time. When you number 95 of the Bears, if that guy had an extra ham sandwich for lunch, three more pounds, Aaron's out for the year. That is a potentially disastrous. Look at this right here. Look at the weight on Aaron. It's uncomfortable to watch. Oh, God. God, that's brutal. That is brutal. That's a 332-man man. And I'm saying this about Aaron Rodgers. He's not going to like this. He tore his ACL in high school. He broke his foot as a backup to Favre. In 2010, he had concussions. In 2013, broken clavicle. In 2014, he tore a calf and was hurt in the playoffs. In 2017, he broke his clavicle. And that. Listen, Tom Brady has had one fluke injury that's now an illegal hit, where he was standing and a defensive lineman came out of a pile, hit him in the knee, out for a year. But he and Eli Manning don't get hurt. Aaron Rodgers is 6'2", 220. And when he retires and doesn't lift weights, he'll go down to about 208, 212. He's not a big guy. He plays loose. Aaron's a little cocky. He's confident bordering on cocky. And he plays confident bordering on cocky. He sort of believes he gets to the line of scrimmage, I can make stuff happen. The bottom line is Tom Brady plays a system. Tom's not a cocky player. He's a confident player. But I say this about Aaron Rodgers. Colin, you're reaching. Let me ask you. If Aaron Rodgers, and we're talking an inch more pressure, and I'm told he will play this Sunday. It's not being reported yet. It's a weird source. This is the only time this source has given me the story. It's a source I deeply trust. I'm told Aaron Rodgers will play Sunday. Nobody in Green Bay is saying yes. Aaron's not saying yes. Minnesota's presuming yes. Folks, if that's an injury, we got a broken foot, concussions, broken clavicle, torn calf, broken clavicle, and whatever that would be called. You're getting to a point now with Aaron. It's like, dude, you got to reel it back in. You are 35 in December. You know how it is, man. When those injuries start piling up, go ask Derrick Rose. When those injuries start piling up, 30, 32, 34, Peyton Manning, it doesn't get easier. It gets harder. So it's one of those things. That, I know he's great, but does he have to adapt his style? I would say a little bit. By the way, don't complain about the Packers' offensive line. In the last decade, they've had twice as many Pro Bowl offensive linemen as Tom Brady. Aaron's got to maybe tweak that style a little bit. Tom Brady, a couple years ago, started practicing being sacked. We are not that far off from Aaron, and this stinks because he is great and he is fun to watch. We're not that far off from him being out for a long time. You watch that from above, that video. You know how you ever watch stuff on TV and you kind of wince? You're kind of like, oh, God. The Joe Theismann stuff's the worst I've ever seen. I can't watch it. I saw it once live, can't watch it. But you start getting to these injuries where you're like, ah. When you do that as a viewer, either somebody got really hurt or somebody was close to getting really hurt. Your natural reaction, which is, ugh, it's natural. You're seeing what we're seeing. 330-pound guy, one extra ham sandwich. Aaron's out for 9 weeks.
What's up, everybody? John Middlecoff of the 3 and Out podcast, brought to you by Colin Cowherd and his podcast network. If you like Colin's show, you'll like mine. I talk a ton of football. This week, fly all around the NFL, touch on Sam Darnold, and I tell you what Chip Kelly and John Gruden have in common. Again, if you like Colin's show, you will like mine. Talk a lot of football. John Middlecoff, the 3 and Out podcast.
I try to stay above the fray. I don't get emotional. I don't want to be up here yelling, screaming at clouds and stuff. But there is one thing that bothers me when in sports and in life, when somebody is not an attention seeker or a credit seeker and they're exceptional and loud people around them get too much credit and they're quiet, driven, head down, and they don't get enough credit. And this happens in business. It happens in life. You know, the old saying, the squeaky wheel gets the whatever it is. Isn't that saying the squeaky wheel gets the grease? Okay, Russell Wilson's classy. He's classy, works hard, didn't swear, lose the Super Bowl, goes up. It's almost shocking how composed he is. But he played for several years. He plays with Coach Pete Carroll. Make a lot of noise. Richard Sherman, make a lot of noise. And Michael Bennett, make a lot of noise. And Cam Chancellor, make a lot of noise. I make a lot of noise. So Albert Breer, who is very tight end, he runs Monday Morning Quarterback. Peter King left, it's now his. And he is sharp and tight end. Very tight end. MMQB did a story on Russell Wilson, his relationship with the Seattle locker room. Here's what Albert Breer said about Russell and the Seahawks locker room.
Those defensive players did not feel like Russell Wilson was being held accountable or being held to the same standard that a lot of them were. And that issue there was only exacerbated when some of those guys were shown the door in the offseason. And so I think there really is this feeling in that organization. You know what? We got to hold Russell Wilson accountable. And if he's going to get another contract here, he's going to have to earn it.
What? He's going to have to earn it? Okay. You do realize this franchise has mostly been a laughingstock my entire life. He won a Super Bowl, and when he did, and he did, he was making $700,000. You owe him for what he's elevated the franchise net worth, for what he did to the city. You owe him. And I'm not a big believer in owing people stuff, because I think he's great anyway. You got to be kidding me. The only reason we know who Richard Sherman is because of Russell Wilson. You wouldn't have been on Sunday Night Football. You wouldn't have been in the playoffs. You wouldn't have been in Super Bowls. You wouldn't have been on TV. You would have been a Stanford corner playing for a bad football team. And Matt Flynn would have been your quarterback, and you would have been 6-10. Pete Carroll fired twice. Pete Carroll, 7-9, 7-9. Russell Wilson gets drafted. Pete Carroll suddenly, what's the difference? Wins 13 games, 12 games, 11 games, Super Bowls. Richard Sherman was drafted the year before Russell Wilson. When Richard Sherman was the man, they were 7-9. When Russell Wilson got to the team, they started making Super Bowls. Seattle is already geographically isolated. I grew up there. It's out in the middle of nowhere. You can reach out and touch Alaska. Okay? Their games are not on TV without Russell Wilson. They had Matt Flynn making $10 million a year. Russell Wilson walked into camp, beat him out. And then for the next 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, even now, they're on NBC Sunday Night Football, Fox Game of the Week, Monday Night Football, Thursday Night Football, only because of Russell Wilson. Earn it? You got to be out of your gourd. He has to earn another contract? He won a Super Bowl making 700 G's. Good God. I mean, here's the other thing about Seattle's defense. It was great for 4 years. Baltimore's was great for two decades. Seattle self-promoted. Pete Carroll, because he's a defensive guy, gassed him up. They self-promoted. They had endorsements. They did a lot of
nickname.
They had nicknames. They had Baltimore's was great for two decades, as long as Ray Lewis played. And it was blue collar, and they didn't self-promote. They just squished you. They made you wince when they hit you. They intimidated you. Seattle's was good for about 4 years. And it would not have been on television in the most geographically isolated city in America if not for Russell Wilson. Are people out of their... I'm a Seattleite. This franchise is a zero burger. Russell Wilson, there's two players in the history of this organization. Steve Largent and Russell Wilson. You take them out and you get into like... Walter Jones was awesome, but he was a tackle. There's like three great players in the history of the organization. Walter Jones, Steve Largent, Russell Wilson. Earl Thomas, good, but he could be a Cowboy by the end of the week. Earn. God, it's just embarrassing. I don't live in Seattle, okay? I hope people up there understand that all those chatty defensive guys, they're all gone. I mean, it's Russell's going to be there for another 8 years, and the only reason you're getting on TV and getting endorsements and getting wins and making it potentially to the playoffs is going to be Russell Wilson. I'm now put me in a bad mood for the whole second hour. I got to get in a better mood. Okay, I look down. Greg Cosell is ready. I'll be in a better mood. 38, 39 years, something. I don't know how many years. NFL Films, Greg Cosell. Sorry, I get worked up. Very few people I get adamant defending. Russell Wilson is one of them, and Greg Cosell joins us. Greg, how are you?
I've got Jim Zorn on the line. He's a little upset with your comments.
All right, let's start with this. Let's talk film. Sam Darnold, people going crazy. What did you see on film with Sam Darnold? Are we hyperventilating here?
Well, of course we're hyperventilating. Just the way we hyperventilated over six starts by Deshaun Watson, which doesn't mean there weren't good things that Sam Darnold did. Here's to me what the tape showed, Colin. I thought the Jets coaching staff did an excellent job, and this is what coaching is for, keeping it basic for Darnold with route concepts and design defining the throws within rhythm. That's what the coaching staff did. Now, what Darnold, I thought, did really, really well was show tremendous patience in the pocket on certain throws where he stayed in the pocket and waited with a great understanding of where his bailout throws were. A lot of young quarterbacks don't do that. And he definitely showed efficient movement, which is something that he's good at. So the staff did an excellent job, and for the most part, I thought he did a very good job in certain areas. And to me, his best throw was not the touchdown, the long touchdown, because that was a bust. But he had a third down conversion early in the game where he had to wait for the routes to develop and show, and he stayed there and waited, and he knew where to go.
Another young quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo's getting clobbered because he faced a great defense on the road, and he threw some picks. What did the film say?
Again, that's another case where I think he'd started seven games prior to this season, and he got the money, so he was anointed. He's a talented guy. I think one thing that he needs to work on, and it's particularly important in a Kyle Shanahan offense because of all the in-breaking routes, is I think he needs to develop a little better vision and clarity throwing between the numbers. He has a tendency to make too many throws into traffic, and Kyle's route concepts often work between the numbers, between the hashes. So that's something that you would expect Jimmy Garoppolo to improve on as he gains more experience.
Some of this is just Minnesota's loaded. I mean,
they are loaded.
They are absolutely. I don't know if they have more A players than the Rams. They don't have many C players on that roster.
No, and defensively, they've been together, those players, for a long time. And those two linebackers, Barr and Kendricks, they're outstanding with the concepts that they're asked to execute. And there's really no weakness at any level. And they're very, very good with their selective blitz concepts. They're not a high-percentage blitz defense. But, for instance, that interception that Garoppolo threw for the touchdown was classic Zimmer. He showed blitz from one side pre-snap and then came with blitz from the other side once the ball was snapped. Really good. Really difficult to deal with as an offense.
All right, let's go to a young guy in the AFC, Patrick Mahomes. Always feels like Andy Reid's teams in September. Like off-season, he's got all these little tricky plays. They just they blow people up. They crushed New England a few years ago. Last year, what did you see from Mahomes? What did the tape say?
Mahomes is an interesting player. We know he can throw it. We don't need to discuss that. He's a little bit of a risk taker. Andy Reid is phenomenal at designing plays versus what would be called predictable and anticipated coverages. And when you play the Chargers, you tend to get a lot of cover three. So you can design throws and route concepts that are there. He did a really good job with that. And the Chiefs were really innovative in the red zone, in the tight red zone. It'll be interesting to see if more teams don't start doing that. And then they have a route concept which is called flood, three-level stretch, three routes, deep, intermediate, short to the same side of the field. Andy Reid is as good as there is at finding innovative ways to run that concept. And he did it really well in this game. It's a route concept that really works well against cover three. So he did a really nice job, and Mahomes made the throws that were available. And his touchdown to Sherman was a great, great throw.
You know, when I watched one of the games that was the Jags-Giants, and,
yeah.
You know, I've kind of been out on Eli for several years. He doesn't extend plays, makes some really bad throws still. I think his arm strength doesn't feel as good as it was 4 or 5 years ago. I felt watching that game against the Jags, it was a completely winnable game, and I thought he left some stuff on the table. But what did the film say?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think he did. I think overall that he was not consistent with his ball placement, and he needs to clean that up, whether it can be cleaned up. But I will say this. I will say that he's now running a new offense. Pat Shurmur's there, so it's a different offense. He's got an offensive line that's an issue. Ereck Flowers was a problem at left tackle. Now he's a problem at right tackle. And see, what that means, Colin, is that now you have to change things up tactically to compensate for your right tackle. So now you've got to help him with formation. You've got to help him with tactics like chips, slides. You've got to keep a back in at times. So you've got to do things that limit what you can do with your pass game. So when you take all those things and then put it up against the first or second best defense in the NFL, I did not expect a big game for the Giants passing game. This was the best pass defense in the NFL last year, I believe, and the Giants O-line, in addition to Flowers, is a major work in progress, to be kind.
So I'm watching the Cowboys. It's not like Cam had a great night, but I've been a fan of Dak, but I never think he's an elite guy. But I think physically he's mobile, he's thick, he can last, he can take hits, he's a good leader. He says stuff when the questions are asked in Dallas, which can be flammable with Jerry Jones. But boy, you watch him against Carolina, and my takeaway was, man, his ceiling is low. When he goes to a second and third option, if the first receiver's taken away, his accuracy dips. I mean, I'm not saying I ever thought he was great, but I came out of that game discouraged by I hope we have some game film here, discouraged by what I saw.
Yeah, and I think there's a couple of things going on here. First of all, he wasn't particularly accurate, and he needs to be an accurate thrower. That was one concern, by the way, when he came out of Mississippi State. In his first year in the league, he proved to be very accurate, but that was a concern, and he was not very accurate this past week.
No.
I think overall, the coaching staff needs to really do some due diligence. It was predominantly zone defense that they played against with Carolina. And when you play zone, the route concepts and combinations have to present guys open. You can attack zones with concepts. They need to do a better job of that. But Dak is not an aggressive thrower. He's not really an anticipatory thrower. And as we've discussed before about some other quarterbacks, there's no statistics for balls that aren't thrown that should be thrown. And Dak is not really the kind of guy that will turn it loose. He needs it really well defined.
So John Gruden, I watched the Monday Night Football game, Rams and Raiders, and there was one throw in particular where, listen, if you look at Derek Carr's brother's history, got banged around in this league. Derek's been hurt a couple times. I understand when receivers hear footsteps and quarterbacks hear footsteps. But there was one play in particular where Derek had no pressure and threw it up the left side.
Right.
And Gruden was frustrated. You know, we always talk about, you know, guys worth their money or not. I think he's worth his money because what are they without him? But, you know, Gruden's frustrated this week, said he missed Amari on multiple occasions.
Oh, he sure did.
He did. So to you, you were disappointed.
I thought that Amari Cooper looked explosively dynamic running routes. And I know fantasy people probably don't understand that, but I guess maybe John had Jared Cook in his fantasy league. But, you know, Carr was, he was tentative at times. There were some throws he didn't turn loose. You know, I almost felt like he was thinking through the offense as opposed to executing the offense, and maybe that'll get better because it's a new offense. Gruden clearly was enamored with two things. He was enamored with empty sets, and he was enamored with Jared Cook as the single receiver to the short side of the field on the back side of trips. Those were two things that really stood out on film. But Carr did not seem like he was comfortable. But I will say that it's funny you mention Amari Cooper because I was watching the tape and I kept seeing Amari Cooper run routes, and boy, did he look quick.
By the way, Aaron Rodgers' first half, can't move the chains. Second half, he's playing on one leg. They must have shortened routes. I mean, that's what the announcers kept saying. But Aaron, sometimes I it's almost like he's better out of scripted plays. What did you make of his second half?
It's funny you say that because in the second half, because he couldn't move real well, he had to play more within rhythm because he couldn't move. So, yes, they got the ball out a lot quicker. There were some throws where he did have time in the pocket, and once that happened, I mean, the touchdown he threw to Geronimo Allison, the 39-yarder, he had a lot of time in the pocket. That was a late-in-the-down throw, and you couldn't have handed the ball to Allison any better than Aaron Rodgers did there. That was a big, big-time throw. But, no, he had time in the pocket, more so in the second half than they did in the first half. They just protected better.
Let's go. Greg, you always give us a play of the week. When you really break it down for our television audience specifically, let's go to that game-winning, that secret behind the game-winning pass to the Bears over the middle.
Okay, let's start it right now, Colin, and we'll take a look at the play because it was obviously first of all, you can see he had time, and he throws it to Cobb in the middle of the field, and Randall Cobb has plenty of room to run for a long touchdown and just the kind of play that breaks the back of a defense. But this was a fascinating play because there you see Cobb in the slot to the trip side, so he's the number two receiver. There's Bryce Callahan. He's the slot corner. Notice he's outside of Cobb. That's Eddie Jackson, the safety. They're actually doubling Cobb on this play with Callahan and Jackson. Look at Callahan outside, almost bracketing. Look at Jackson staring right at Cobb. So what happens here is Cobb's going to break inside. So what happens is the safety Jackson jumps him, and Callahan drops off to help out. But this is really good by Rodgers and Cobb because this is the adjustment you make when you get later in the down. Notice now that you have Jackson all the way to the other side of the field. Cobb stops, sees Rodgers, and breaks back inside away from Jackson. And Rodgers puts the ball right there. This was an adjusted throw. It was kind of a second reaction play, Colin, without the quarterback Rodgers running around as we're used to seeing quarterbacks do, and you can really see it from this angle so well.
Yeah.
You can see the fact that Cobb is going to just break back a little bit to the inside, not a lot, but the ball placement. See, that's why ball placement is so critical, because you have to be able to put it exactly where you want to.
It also shows the Bears had it pretty well defended initially, and if your offensive line can give you that extra half second to a second, guys like Aaron Rodgers are killers.
So they beat a double.
Yeah, good stuff, Greg Cosell. NFL Films, thank you so much.
All right, Colin, appreciate it.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
So the Saints are hosting the Browns, meaning Drew Brees was asked about Baker Mayfield. And Drew Brees said what, of course, Drew Brees would say about a young quarterback, because Drew Brees is classy. And he said this about Baker Mayfield. Here we go.
I followed his college career. Couldn't have been more impressed with what he was able to accomplish in college, especially last year. Really impressed with the way that he plays the game. I think he's a great competitor. I love his competitiveness and his playmaking ability. I think he can be a lot better than me. Man, he's got all the tools. You know, he's more athletic. He probably can run around better. He's got a stronger arm, but he's got all the tools.
Stronger arm he does. Not. He doesn't have a cannon arm. Baker's arm's a little stronger than Drew's, yes. But, all right, I'm just going to throw this out there. Drew Brees holds, I don't know, 9 all-time NFL records. And these are not like, these are the good ones, not like, led the National League in 1981 in doubles during day games. These are career completion percentage. Consecutive games with a touchdown pass. 300-yard games, 400-yard games, 4,000-yard season, 5,000-yard seasons. Folks, these guys are getting compared because they're both short. That's like saying Tom Arnold and Tom Hanks are the same actor because they're named Tom. This is what we do with European basketball players. Any tall Euro who can shoot, he's Dirk Nowitzki. No, he's not Dirk Nowitzki. Dirk Nowitzki's the best shooting big man, along with Larry Bird and Kevin Durant, in the history of the league. Here's the other thing that's not being mentioned, and this is why Baker shouldn't have gone number one. Because the city of Cleveland had the number one pick, and it's cold and it's windy and it hails and it snows. A big part, I mean, it matters, of Drew Brees' success is he played in San Diego, then he played in the Dome. Drew Brees wouldn't be as good playing in Cleveland with that dysfunction and that weather. Baker Mayfield, I've said this before, I'd like him a lot more in Arizona. I'd like him a lot more in Jacksonville. But that dysfunction with his personality and that weather for a 6-foot runaround, kind of athletic, not really, with a good arm, nothing special. We got to stop. He's not going to be Drew Brees. That's not the comp. That's not the comp. He's not close to Drew Brees. Drew Brees holds 9 all-time NFL records. Even in, think about college. Drew Brees went to cold weather Big Ten Purdue. It was a running conference. Teams weren't as 4 and 5 wide. The rules were receivers could get smoked if they ran across the middle. 3 years, Drew Brees, 12,000 yards. This is the Big Ten. And this is like 15 years ago. It was a running conference. Drew Brees, 12,000 yards. Baker Mayfield played in the pass-happy Big 12, where I think they outlawed tackling about 6 years ago, where everybody runs 5 wide, in an offense where every quarterback puts up prodigious numbers. I mean, Purdue's never looked the same since Drew Brees left. Oklahoma has 1,000 yards of offense in the 2 games since Baker left. Even their college careers, one had 12,000, one had 12,000. They weren't the same. 12,000 at Purdue is a lot better than 12,000 at Oklahoma when you got NFL guys surrounding you. Go look at Drew Brees' teammates. Find all the NFL guys on offense. Yeah. They're UPS drivers, okay? So, I mean, sometimes, listen, Rob Ryan and Trent Dilfer had this opinion on Baker Mayfield. I think it's very, very accurate.
People want to compare him to Drew Brees. Now, Drew Brees is one of the best pocket passers of all time. He looks like he wants to extend plays like Russell Wilson does. But Russell Wilson is a premier athlete. This guy's not going to be able to do that in the National Football League.
So you watch second half of the Georgia game, and you can forecast what it's going to be like for him in the NFL if he continues to play his style of football, which is the creative, intuitive, extend plays. It's not going to work. He's not a good enough athlete to play that style of football in the NFL.
So he's going to have to be a pocket passer, and he ain't Drew Brees as a pocket passer. And Drew's saying nice stuff because Drew's a good guy, but it just cracks me up. Every European that can shoot is not Dirk Nowitzki. Stop it. And just because your name is Tom, you're not Tom Hanks, even if you're an actor and live in the same town as Tom Hanks and your name is Tom and you act, you're not Tom Hanks. What do the wise guys wear? I get asked that from time to time. The answer is the new gear from the HerdNow.com merchandise store. We are now officially open for business. We have all the apparel diehard Herd fans need to represent the show. Go to the HerdNow.com. If you don't, that's a you problem. And that's a you problem is one of our shirts. Check it out. TheHerdNow.com. TheHerdNow.com store is open for business today.